Proverbs chapter number 23. I'd like to start reading verse number 10. Good to see that new baby, Brother Bart and Miss Kim's this morning. I always love to see Mom and Daddy bring those young children. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 10, the Bible said, "Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty, he shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction, thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, shalt deliver his soul from hell." You may be seated this morning. You found within the hearing of the reading of the Word of God this morning the instructions of raising children. Unfortunately, we live in a day and an hour where these old landmarks have been removed. The old landmark of child raising is quickly vanished from our countryside. Now children are left to raise their own self, to go with their own motives and own will. They holler in rights for the children. And I do understand rights. But we must instruct our children what is wrong and what is right. We found here in the book of Proverbs on the instruction of the children. We've been dealing in a series to close this morning. We've talked of the marriage of the home, how God has sanctioned marriage, another landmark that has left our country. And then the man of the home, the helpmeet of the home. But now, this morning, the children of the home, I'd like to address three quick thoughts about our children. I'd like to deal, first of all, with the home of the children. Secondly, with the heritage of the children. Then thirdly, the handling of the children. First, we find that every child needs a home. And boy, when you look at the homes that children are brought up in 203, it's saddening to our heart. The Bible said, "Remove not the old landmark, and enter not in the fields of the fatherless." Many children are raised in a home that has nothing no more than a building, a roof, and many don't even have that. There's a lot of difference in a home and a house. And certainly the home of the children, you'll find a great Bible example in Luke chapter number 15. Boy, Mom and Daddy's, how this ought to pierce the innermost dwelling of our heart this morning. Whether your children are young, whether they're old, they're still our children. So we see the right kind of home for our children found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. I'd like to say, first of all, the right kind of home would be a stable home. You'll find here the story of the great prodigal son. No doubt he was raised in a very stable environment. The reason I say that, the Bible said in verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish for hunger." He said, "I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee." The home of the children needs to be very stable. He said that he came to himself and said, "Well, it's a lot better down at Daddy's house." That ought to be the desire of our heart when our children leave home. They'll always say it was no place like Daddy's house. And I can go back this morning. Oh, my daddy's done crossed the river. I want to say that by the good grace hand of God, by His mercy, I was raised in a very stable home. A home that Daddy was home at night. Mama'd get up and cook and tuck us in bed at night. Boy, I don't know about you, but we was raised in the country in an old house. Had one heater to heat about five rooms. Mama'd come in there and pack enough quilts on you, you'd have to have a bumper jack to get out of bed the next morning. And I tell you what we had a stable home, a stable environment. We had a home that other children longed to come to because we had a mom and daddy that sat down together, blessed their meal, took their children in bed and kissed them goodnight. And I remind you this morning, those old landmarks are quickly fading out of our countryside. Oh, how our home needs to be stable. Not only here did the prodigal have a stable home, but you'll see they had a spiritual home. In verse number 18, he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'll arise and go to my father. And I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. Now I'm going to tell you something. When I was at home and young and stupid, trying to plant them wild oats, one thing I never did want to do is to let my daddy down. I never did want to embarrass my daddy. And children, it ought to be branded in your heart this morning that you'd never embarrass your mom and daddy. I guarantee your mom and daddy have took great measure to provide and to raise you up in a way that you ought to go. And it ought to mean something to you how you treat your mom and daddy. And certainly here, the prodigal son, I tell you why he wanted to go back home. Because he had something to go back home to. Can I say that again? The reason that his home got on his mind, because it was something beside a ball bat and a football. It's something about his daddy had prayed and got along with God and had a Bible around the table, raised him up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and they had a spiritual home, something that's going right by the wayside in the day that you and I live. May I tell you, some of you ought to get in the quit raising your children to live and go to preparing your children to die. You ought to spend more time on their dying than their living. There's a God they're going to meet. Oh, I'm talking about a home for the child is a spiritual home. I'm thankful I was raised in a place that was spiritual. You know, yesterday in Tennessee, we went back to an old family reunion. And guess where we went and ate at? In the old church building where I was raised. Lord, I looked in there and shouted. I said, great God in the morning. I said, they called on me to lead prayer at the family reunion. They wasn't used to much Baptist praying in the Church of Christ Church. But I tell you one thing. But like I got a glimpse of that old church where I was raised. I walked in, I looked back, I said, oh God, I thank you that you drew me by your grace and you put a shout in my heart and you let me sit under a man of God who was in love with Jesus and wasn't scared to cry, wasn't scared to shout. I'm glad by the grace of God I've raised my children in a spiritual home. I'm glad my children know what crying is. I'm glad to know what shouting is. I'm glad to know what testifying is. Great God, I'm blessed this morning. Well, glory. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm set on. I'm glad that I've got a spiritual home by the good grace of God. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad this don't unnerve my children. Matter of fact, if their daddy ain't running, shouting, squalling, they know something's wrong with daddy. And I'm going to tell you this morning, friend, oh, we need to have the right kind of home for our children. Young couples, oh, I want to encourage you to have a spiritual home. It's not if Johnny can knock the ball out of the park. It's not if Johnny can run the fastest. But it's if Johnny knows Jesus. I'm telling you this morning, friend, our children need a home. They need a stable home. They need a spiritual home. And in verse 10, I feel like they had a simple home. For the Bible said this. He said, I like what Daddy did in verse 20. He arose, came to his father. He was yet a great way off. His father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck. Somebody said, you're not a man if you don't, if you cry. I say, you're not a man if you don't cry. Daddy, run and kiss it. It's a simple home. Now we live in a society that children's never even been kissed by the daddy. Oh, Brother Mike, how I wish I could feel my daddy's hug this morning. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad.
I had a daddy I could run to.
A simple daddy.
Brother Gerald, daddy that didn't have a lot, but I tell you what he had a home. You could set your watch by my daddy. At 5:20, I'd look way down through the woods and watch that old green truck come up the road. I knowed my daddy was coming home. I could so set my watch by him, Brother Gerald. Talking about a simple home. Had a long driveway, and I'd run out as a little old lad of a boy, 5, 6 years old. By the time daddy's truck would turn in the driveway, I'd race him all the way to the house. What are you talking about? Daddy'd get out of the truck, slam that door. I'd run to hug my daddy. I was glad daddy got home. Why? Because he was a simple type man that loved his children, that would stand for things that was right. He wasn't a liberal, compromising politician. But he would raise his children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus, and he stood for something. Thank God for a simple life. Boy, we're missing it now. Y'all just have to forgive me because I come from over there yesterday. It's still in my heart. I looked on an old porch while I was raised. We had old rockers out there. And I mean, maybe 3 cars come down the road all day. If somebody come down the road, we know who they was. You say, preacher, you preach like you're an old man. No, I was just raised in an old-fashioned environment. I'm a young man with an old-fashioned heart. Old-fashioned values and virtues. I'm telling you this morning, we need a simple life back in our home. We sit back on the porch and just rock, enjoy life. Enjoy Jesus by the good grace. Now, we're so busy. Amen. We're so remote-controlled. We're so programmed. We run here, we run there, and we've forgotten our children is ungrown. That's what happened to me. And I'm going to tell you this morning, we better get back to the simple way of living, where people just love one another. Appreciate one another. Sit down, fry some of that old country ham. Put some biscuits on the table. Shout glory, glory, glory to the good grace of God. You know, you ain't got to go to Outback every time you get together. Amen. You young couples, you ain't got to do nothing extravagant. We need to get back to a simple way of living. Boy, just simple. Just good, simple living. I love to go over Sister Orion's and Brother Grover sometime to sit down and recollect in their world. They ain't got a care in this world. They get out on the floor and go to praying and bragging on Jesus and heaven a false. Boy, I'm going to tell you when they gone, I'm going to miss that. Oh, the simple life. Simple life is so precious. Boy, we want to get. But Mom and Daddy, as you hear the man of God, and you hear him well this morning, it's not in what you get. It's in who you've got. And oh, I'm going to tell you, the home was simple. We ought to raise our children by the simple life. Know that Sunday morning's the time to go to the house of God, no question. I mean, it's not a topic. If we get up, is are we going? It's what time are we leaving? Amen. Sunday night, they ought to know it's church time. Wednesday night, they ought to know it's church time. You say, Brother Tim, you ought not preach so hard to us. No, let me tell you something. We need hard preaching. We need hard preaching. We better be taking heed where we are raising our children. The home, you know, the children are just a simple home. Daddy, when's the last time you kissed your babies? When's the last time I never will forget? Talking about just the simple life things that are so simple or so precious. Do you know that? Young kids, you remember the evening, Sunday night? We come in this church and your little schoolmate's been killed down the road in that car wreck. I'm going to tell you, Brother Gerald, I walked in that morgue with that daddy that evening. One of the pitifulest times in my ministry I've ever seen. Now, I tell you what, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to leave that place. Brother David, to go get around the arms of my children. Grab them up and tell them I love them one more time. Because you hear me and hear the man of God well this morning. You better get back to the simple life telling your younger that you love them. And hold them every chance you get. Because God ain't promised you them here in the morning. Boy, you better love them. You better cherish every moment. Boy, one of them good times. Sister Dorothy would just sit around the table with Mom and Daddy. Nothing to do. We've got so many things now. We've got to keep running to keep our things moving. Mom and Daddy didn't have that problem. Mom and Daddy go to the grocery store, spend $12-$16 a week, bring home 4 or 5 sacks of groceries. They didn't worry about nothing. Going to bed at night, waking up to a new day, hugging their children. They had a simple life. You say, preacher, I tell you what's wrong with you. You're just an old country bumpkin. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I know what a cow barn is, what a hog pen is. But Brother Mike, I'm glad I know what the grace of God is. Woo! I'm a country boy. Head on to the city! Hallelujah! I'm glad this morning of the simple life. That's why I love this old style building. That old pavilion up there under with them shavings on the floor. You say, well, I don't like it. It gets in my hair and in my shoes. Well, leave me alone. I like it. We ought to raise our children in a simple way of life. That it's not in things. But it's just basic Bible, Holy Ghost-filled living. Oh, this morning I'm talking about the home of the children. Secondly, thirdly, the heritage of the children. The heritage of the children. We think about a heritage. Boy, you look at this scripture, Proverbs 17:6. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but oh, some of you grandparents, you're going to realize this verse is going to stand out to you this morning. Found the book of Proverbs, chapter number 17. But the Proverbs, chapter number 17, verse number 6, talking about not only the home of our children, but the heritage of our children. What are we handing down to our children? The Bible said, Proverbs 17:6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their father. I tell you what, I can hardly wait, Megan. JC has me a grandbaby. I'm just hardly wait, Brother Gerald. Man, gonna say, Daddy, don't wish that on me so soon. But I'm gonna tell you what, the children's children, Brother Jerry, them little old grandbabies. I was coming back to Tennessee last night. I said, tell you what I'm ready to do. I'm ready to get back to Liberty Baptist Church and see my little old young'uns that's running down there on them pews. Little old young'uns coming in the door hollering, hey, preacher. Running, grabbing my leg, grabbing my coattail, saying, hey, preacher, let me tell you something, children are a blessing. And we better be careful what we're handling down to our blessed little children. There he said, children's children are the glory of old men. Boy, our grandchildren, ain't they grand? If you don't believe me, just ask Sister Orrin and Brother Grover. You go in their house, there ain't no pictures of Brother Grover. Ain't no pictures of Miss Orrin. That little grandbaby's plastered from wall to wall. You know why? Because it's the crown of their glory. Oh, ain't they great? Seeing Brother David this morning holding little old Braden. Little Braden had him around the neck. I got to thinking about that scripture. The children's children are the crown of glory of old men. Boy, I can hardly wait till I take my grandboy fishing. Teach him what whittling is, Brother Jerry. A lot of you don't even know what that is. But it's something that granddaddies and grandboys ought to do. Get together and throw a cork out. Don't care if fish bite or not, Brother Jerry. Just watch the cork float down the creek with your grandchildren. Great glory about July. Get you one of them big old red meated watermelons. Big shaker of salt, bust it out, say, boy, just get in and get your face in it. Don't worry about it if you get it on your shoes, up your nose, in your ears, in your hair. Just enjoy. I'm better to wait, Brother Mike, to have me a little old boy. Put him in some Brogan shoes and overalls and the first mud hole again, I'm going to pitch him right in the middle. Brother Brad, I'm going to get him some camouflage and a good shotgun. I'm going to teach him what hunting is. Oh, the crown of glory. Them old men. The heritage of the children. I want you to look at some great heritage found in the father of our faith. Turn over with me to the book of Genesis, found in chapter number 25. Book of Genesis, chapter number 25. There you're going to find a Bible character. It's talking about the heritage of his children. Genesis chapter number 25. I want to start reading this morning. Verse number 5. The Bible says Genesis 25:5, and Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. The sons of the concubines which Abram had, Abram gave gifts. Send them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward to the east country. What was he doing? He was straightening out his family while he lived. Verse 7, these are the days of the years of Abram's life, which he lived 115. Abram gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zor, the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abram purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. Verse 11, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt by the well of Moriah. This morning, the heritage of our children, I remind you that Abraham left something to his children. What are we leaving to ours? You'll find, first of all, in verse number 8, he left them a walk. The Bible said Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years. This full of years means satisfied with years. The word points to a calm close with all desires granted, all wishes filled, and all willingness to let go. He left a heritage. He left his walk. In verse number 10, you'll find he left a witness. The field which Abram purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried and Sarah his wife. He left them a field, but he left them a witness of the field that he walked through. Oh, daddies, granddaddies, what kind of heritage are you leaving for your young ones? You say, Abraham, the father of our faith, he left a walk. He left a witness. Look at verse 11. He left a well. I'm a fixing to shout. The Bible said it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well. Oh, you'll find that chapter 26 and 27 that Isaac digged again his daddy's wells. He left a heritage. I'm glad I'm a drinking Brother Grover from some wells that's been dug out in this country. Our forefathers have left the well of worship, the well of witness. I'm so glad I'm around a well this morning. Oh, the heritage. Let me tell you something. A lot of you probably put back some silver and gold for your young'uns and grand-young'uns. You know something? I've got a pocket watch that my daddy gave me. I've got one put up for Megan. I've got one put up for Macy. Brother Gerald, that ain't nothing. I hope I'm going to leave them something a lot greater than that. A witness. A walk if they've seen the daddy walk. And I want to say this, daddy. I pinned this down this morning. Listen to me. Children understand actions better than words. Don't that just about sum it up? Children understand actions better than words. The home of the children, the heritage of the children. A young man came to a man of 90 years of age and said to him, how have you made out to live so long and do so well? The old man took the youngster to an orchard, pointing to some large apple trees that were hanging full, said, I planted these trees when I was a young man. And do you wonder that now I'm permitted to gather the fruit of them? We gather in old age what we plant in our youth. Sow to the wind, reap the whirlwind. Plant in early life the right kind of Christian character. In
you too will eat the luscious fruit in old age. Gather these harvest apples in eternity. Dr. Talmage had that to say. An old man of God that's gone across the river. The heritage of our children. Now I want to close hurriedly on the handling of our children. You'll find that in handling our children in Proverbs 22 and verse number 6, Proverbs 22 and verse number 6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Train up a child in the way that he should go, not in the way that he wants to go, but in the way he should go. I'm interested in this word, training. There's a difference between telling a child and training a child. And you listen to this. The Hebrew word translated train means to hedge in. The word suggests a picture of cattle being guided into a pen. Their path is so fenced so that there's only one way they can go. I'm going to tell you something. I hope my mama don't get this tape because I don't want to bring her no shame and no grief. But I'm going to tell you why I got scars on me this morning. Because they didn't hedge me in for one way to go. They turned me loose. When I was about 14, 15 years old, I was living just like a grown man. And that's no way for a teenager to go. You better hear me and hear me well, and you better write this in, what this word train means. It means to hedge in. The word suggests a picture of cattle being guided into a pen. Their path is so fenced so that there's only one way they can go. And you better be sure that's true. You turn them to the world, they'll go to the world. Daddies, you better know who they date, when they date, and where they date. And you better hedge them in. You say, well, they 16, they drunk. Oh, no. No, no. They need hedged. They need hedged at 18. They're young and stupid. Young and stupid. That's exactly where I was. Oh, preacher, no, I'm 18. I'm young. I've been to school. No, you're stupid. You better thank the Lord of glory this morning. Some of you's had a mom and dad that hedged you, that cared where you was after the ball game. Let me go and say this. Your teenagers don't belong in the Piggly Wiggly parking lot after 10 o'clock. Now, you can sit there and get sold up if you want to, but you better listen to the man of God. You better hedge these children in. Because if you turn them to the world will gladly oblige you in raising your children. The handling of your children. Well, how do I handle my children? Listen to this. You like statistics? I love statistics. Listen to this. What youth learns. Listen. This is profound. What youth learns, age does not forget. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. If you don't break their will when they first begin to manifest their rebellious, sinful nature, they'll grow up to break your heart. By the age of 7 years old, a child's character is formed, their convictions are embedded, and their course is set by 7 years old. Children understand actions better than words. Handling the children. There's four areas that must be reached and ruled of a child. Four areas that must be reached and ruled. First of all, the mind. The goal of secular education is to prepare children to succeed in this world. The goal of a Christian must be different. We must teach our children to fix their attention on the world to come. The mind. areas that must be reached in children. The mind. Secondly, the heart. The heart. Every child comes equipped with the capacity to love, to hate, to laugh, or to cry. To desire, to fear, or to hope. Parents must instill in their children a fear and a horror of sin and seek to engage their affections to Christ. Thirdly, the will. Four areas that must be reached: the mind, the heart, and the will. Parents must command respect, fear, and obedience early. That stubborn child must learn to obey without argument or the display of temper. Listen, children who do not learn to respect parental authority will learn to defy or challenge all authority. If your young'un throws a child like fit in rebellion and gets on the floor and goes to kicking, well, honey, I'd give him something to kick about. Spare the rods full the child. This little young man was over at a supper not long ago. His mama told him to do something. He said, "Shut up!" I run over there and I grab him up and I said, "Son, you ought to get down and pray right now and thank the God of heaven you ain't my child." And I said it in front of where his daddy could hear it and his mama could hear it. Brother Dave, as far as I'm concerned, he ought to got the belt and wore them out. God help your little spineless self. That you can't tell me that you can't handle a 3- and a 4-year-old. Boy, you want my blood pressure to go up. Let me tell you something else about taking these young'uns out of church. You take them out of church once or twice, right? You'll quit wearing the door out with them. That old church where I was at yesterday, Brother Mike, more floors would pop in it. Daddy, after I done got about 9, 10-year-old, got to let me sit on up front. We'd get my little cousins. Boy, we'd get tickled. I'd hear that old floor pop, Miss Flo. I knowed. I didn't have to look. And it wasn't none of that important. I mean, I just turned and looked. I knowed he wasn't coming after my cousin. My daddy didn't have to do that about twice. You know why? Because he showed me he meant business. When he come, got a hold of me, that's what he's saying, "Boy, I ain't a turning you loose till it thunders." And he brought thunder. A lot of them say, "Well, I'll give him a little time out from his Nintendo." My daddy'd take time out, all right. He'd take time out to beat the hair off you. He didn't care if he was in the Kroger or the Walmart. What are you saying, preacher? I'm talking about handling your children. Just turn them to the world, and the world will get them. I tell you something, I'm there. You ought to thank God in heaven. Not because I'm the pastor. No, no, no. But you ought to thank the God of heaven that you're in a church where people love you and love your children and set an example that they can follow. And that they can hear Bible preaching and Bible singing. I'm a closing. The handling of children. "Well, Brother Ken, it just don't affect them." Well, you ain't putting it to them hard enough. When my daddy grabs you, he'd grab a hold of you like this. He had a belt. Let me tell you something. I know right where it hung. It'd do you good. Whatever you discipline your children with, you use it every time. and you lead it so that they can see it because the fear of God. Maybe you can use this analogy. You remember the last time that the Lord whipped you real good? You remember what He used? That stands out in your mind, don't it? Well, leave it so they can see it. Walk by the refrigerator. I want to show you something, what this right here means. Oh, I hope I can find it. I know we're running late, but I know we've all done eat too much for 3 days, and we don't need to go eat no dinner today, no way. But I want to find something. And at this text, Proverbs 22 and 13, now I want you to look what this says. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him. I wanted to know what that word, Brother Terry, meant, beatest. It really got a hold of me. What does that mean? It means leaving stripes. Now let me remind you, Mama, a necktie don't leave stripes. Go get the necktie, it's time for your whipping. If you're going to tear them up, tear them up. Let them remember what you did it for and why you did it. Don't just beat on them. But when they do wrong, make them pay. You know why you're growing in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Because when you do wrong, He corrects you. If not, you'd be out in the world as a wayward child in a week. But He disciplines you. He said, if any of you without discipline, then you are a bastard and not a child. That's what the Bible says. If you go without correction, you're none of His. And you better believe this morning, if you love your children, you will discipline them. Amen? I'm convinced of this. It's not the children's fault. They're doing all they know to do. Mom and Daddy, it's our fault. And you know something? Let me give you young couples something to think about and write in your Bible. Be careful. You'll let the second one away with murder. I don't know why, but it's just nature. Boy, little old Megan, she could have even got off the chalk line. You better get back on. I'd let the other sort of lean off. I'm tired of whipping young'uns. But it ain't no time to hold up now. My baby's 16 years old today. You think I'm going to turn her to the world? Do I look stupid? Let me reframe that. I'm not stupid. Some of you may think that I'm short a brick or two, but I ain't. My girl ain't being turned to them wolves in a car. Because you know what? Because I love her. And if I didn't love her, I'd say, honey, here's gas money. Just come home when you can. That's a low down mama and daddy. The handling. And let me ask you something. If any of you see my girl where she ought not be, please call me, Colette. Please think enough of me to call me. There's a woman in this church right now, nobody knows, that thinks enough of me and Miss Renee that has called me when they seen something. You know why? I know she hated to call me. I know she hated to call the man of God. But she thought enough of me to tell me. And it helped my children. Oh, you think your crow's the blackest, huh? You better hope to God in heaven there's somebody else got eyes watching your children. Ain't that right, Mama? Hallelujah. I'm ready to shout, Brother Mike. Handling your children. If you don't handle your children now. These little kids. I seen little Hunter this morning. Walked in with a Bible. Seen little Brayden. You know what he was playing with? He wasn't playing with a ball. Back. He's playing with the children's first Bible. You've got to put this in their mind, in their heart while they're young. The tree bends as it grows, as it's young. If you want a handle stick, then you take that green sapling and you bend it over and you wire it and you let it grow into that. It's some bending and some shaping going on. Boy, my daddy knows how to shape boys. Whew. Whew. Well, that locked him up. But I tell you one thing. You know what it was? Yes, sir. Why we got away from that, Brother Donald?
Yes, sir. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, we ought to raise our children. Hallelujah. I love to hear young ones address folks with respect. Can I say this? I know I'm running rabbits, but we're going to shoot me in a minute. Little old Drew, you know Brother David Phillips, Miss Christie, little old Drew was out here. I felt so bad, Brother John. You know, little Drew, he ain't got to be tempted much or pushed. I mean, it's just on him. Brother Brandon and I sort of just messing with him. He come by and he kicked me. Brother David, something was wrong, though. His mama seen him. This is what he done. Oh, I felt so bad. I felt this low. Little boy got home. He called. He said, "Preacher." He said, "Preacher, I'm sorry. I kicked you, preacher." You see? Mom and Daddy just didn't let him kick the man of God. He was training that child. How you bending them this morning? How you training them, children? Boy, it is a blessing to be able to be saved and raise a young and in a God-fearing church. Amen. These mom and daddies, you listen to me, and I don't care if it hair lips the devil. Hear me. These mom and daddies has passed this church building this morning, won't bring their children to the house of God. You know why? Because they don't care nothing about their children. They got better things to do. But oh, what's going to be a sad day is when Daddy stands before God, gives an account of his children, how he's raised them. Brother David, give me a share. I probably made half of you about half mad, but that's good for you. One thing about it, you know you've been preached to when you listen. You turn them to the world, and the world will turn them. Mom and daddies, I've shared with you my heart. The home of the children. Have you got a home and go to? If not, you know what y'all do? Y'all be gathered around this altar even before this song even had been sprung and say, "Dear God, I want to have a home. I want to have a place that my youngins know that they can come to, a place that they know where God is at. The heritage I want to leave my children son." Oh, God in heaven, I want to be able to leave them something beside a wheel. I want to leave them a walk. I want to leave them a witness. The handling of our children. Dear God in heaven, give me grace to discipline my children the way they need to be disciplined. Dear God, show me and guide me. I won't abandon them in the way of you. Y'all just get honest with God this morning. You say, "Preacher, I don't have answers." Oh, I don't either, but I know a God in heaven that does.